flying, and Greta Garbo is probably crying while Robert Taylor is locked in her dying embrace. Chico and Groucho and Chaplin and Lloyd are all super. Sweet Mickey Mouse, Shirley Temple, and dear Jackie.
Let's go to the movies. Let's go see the stars. I'm joined in studio by our resident movie reviewer, Big Kev, Mr. Kevin Suarez. Kev, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, we've got a film this week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we're going to go see?
So, today we're talking about Molly's Game. So, it's the story about Molly Bloom, who in America, I'd say about a decade ago, she became a bit infamous amongst the more upper-class people of both Hollywood and Los Angeles. Well, actually, they're both the same place. Hollywood and New York, because she held these sort of secret poker games.
Yeah, this is a true story.
Yeah, this is a true story.
The film has been based on a memoir she's written after her time hosting these underground poker games.
Yes.
So very high-class poker games as well.
Yeah, so she would attract people like directors, actors, and unfortunately for her, a couple of mobsters as well.
The mob, they love to get involved with their underground poker.
Yeah.
Now, this, as I mentioned before, is the directorial debut of Aaron Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin has been critically acclaimed in a great deal of stuff he's done in the television sphere. I mean, The West Wing is the one I can name off the top of my head. I know there's a couple of others floating around out there. Very famous for his walk and talk sort of style, with people giving big info dumps and walking from place to place. This is his first dip of the toe into the film genre. What did we think?
I think it was pretty good. There was no obvious tells from his previous experiences on The West Wing or on, I think, The Newsroom as well. It's a bit of a different beast, but it does have a sort of similar tone as well. It's fairly serious, but there are some light, whimsical touches to it. So, for instance, the character of Molly Bloom in the movie, which was, she also narrates as well, played by Jessica Chastain, and it's very great because it establishes her character right in the first scene, which was set in like the 80s, where she shows contempt for everyone, her dad, her mom, her family, her friends, even the audience somehow. it was great listening to her swear at the audience. And I was like, okay, this is what the rest of the movie is going to be like. But she didn't go into that again after the rest of the film. The movie itself was pretty good. As I mentioned, it has some light comic touches, which I think Aaron Sorkin is pretty good and adept at adding fairly decently. Because sometimes with a movie, they try and add a couple of comic scenes and it doesn't quite work out, but here it does. I do enjoy a good serious drama, but it's nice as well to, you know, have a couple of laughs as well. And of course, these laughs are provided by some great actors, such as Jessica Chastain,
This one has a terrific cast. I'm looking at it. Idris Elba,
yeah.
Kevin Costner, Michael Cera, Brian D'Arcy. It's got a really terrific sort of cast. Idris, I love him in anything Idris does. I'm right there. I do love a little bit of Elba.
Yeah, well, I would have to say that my standout for the movie was actually, can you believe it, Michael Cera. Michael Cera. So it's great because he's always known for playing the sort of dorky teenage characters, but here he plays a character that is quite obviously himself. He is playing a well-known Hollywood actor, and it's shown with him on, like, using stock footage of him on the red carpet and so on. They call him Player X, but it's fairly obvious who he's playing, himself. And it's great because he's not playing himself as some sort of dorky dweeb, sort of like in This Is the End. He's playing himself actually a lot more menacingly.
I mean, the guy's got to be in his 30s by now. He's got to be in his like mid-30s by now, and he's still somehow typecast to these awkward, nerdy, late teenage characters.
But it's great when he does get out of that stereotype or that typecast, as in like this movie. I reckon that just like Leslie Nielsen before him, he could go from, or the opposite, he could go from playing comedic characters to probably playing some a bit more serious characters, because even though he does get a couple of laughs here, he does, like, at one point, I was just a little bit scared of him, just on the screen.
Well, in fairness, quite a lot of comedians do make the jump to drama sooner or later. I mean, Tom Hanks, for God's sake, you know, he was known for all his comedy films, and then made the jump to very well regarded comedy, very well regarded drama, and a lot of them have, in fairness. So maybe Michael Cera will be next.
Hopefully.
Any drawbacks?
I would say that it does tend to get it. The plot itself does get a bit confusing at times. At one point, I think that there was like a flashback in a flashback, and like it went from the modern day when she's talking to a lawyer back to when she was still running the game, and then a flashback from that to when she was still a teenager. And at that point, I did think it was starting to get a little bit too convoluted for its own good. But overall, the plot did move along fairly nicely, aside from that occasional moment where it sort of stumbles. But one final question, Sean, are you much of a poker player?
Oh, I love a little bit of poker. You know, get together with the boys and throw a few cards around. Yeah, sure, why not?
Because this game does, for those who aren't that familiar with poker, who sees a river and then thinks that that's the point where they say, go fish. For those sort of players, it does explain the basics of poker and what the players in the movie are doing fairly clearly. So I'd say that's a plus.
All right, fantastic. Well, sounds like one, if you're in the mood for a real life drama, sort of biography kind of film, maybe one to get along to this weekend. Big Kev, thank you very much.
You're welcome.